Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgebeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello. Over the past few decades, chronic illness has skyrocketed worldwide. Meanwhile, since their debut album released 20 years ago, musicians and composers David Primeau and Meetin have received letters from people across the globe, sharing dramatic stories of healing from listening to and chanting along with their signature mantras. With numerous scientific studies now verifying that music has the power to heal us, both emotionally and physically, even where the big guns of conventional medicine have failed, David Primeau and Meetin decided to celebrate the launch of David's new album of signature mantras with a live Facebook event series on the medicine of mantra, in partnership with top doctors across the globe. David Primeau joins me now to talk about the Medicine of Mantra series, her new album, Deva, and the power of mantra to heal the world, one chant at a time. David Primeau, welcome.
Hello, Sandy. Beautiful to hear your voice, and thank you so much for the introduction.
Always a pleasure. Before we talk about how it's possible for music in general and mantras in particular to facilitate healing, I'd like to take a little trip back in time and, for those who don't know, share with our listeners a little bit about your own journey with music and, in particular, mantra.
Yes, both of those things, music and mantra, entered my life like from the very, very beginning, because my mother was a musician, classical musician. She would she played medieval music on her old instruments, like the viola da gamba and the harpsichord and everything. So that's the one influence. And my father was the kind of wild card in the family. He was an artist, a painter. And he got totally into drumming right around the time I was born. So I grew up with him always drumming, like a Persian drumming style. So, and even before we were born, my sister and I, he was already deeply immersed into Eastern spirituality, and especially mantra. And he really took it to such a deep level of, you know, years chanting mantra for 4 hours every night from 2 to 6 in the morning, walking around the city walls of Nuremberg for those 4 hours chanting mantra. That's the kind of person he was, you know. He just would do everything very, very thoroughly, in a way, very German. And on the other hand, he was so not German, because he was just so at home in yoga and meditation. And he studied Sanskrit. He made himself a German Sanskrit dictionary, because he just felt like there should be one in the world, kind of, and he couldn't find one. Things like that. So I grew up with his influence and my mom's, and both of them chanted mantra for me and my sister as we were born. And then, as a good night ritual, we had the Gayatri mantra every night 3 times. And you know, as a kid, I just did it because I was asked to, or told to, or whatever you call it, and had no idea what I was doing, and was also a little embarrassed, because, you know, I knew it was different to whatever other people around me were doing, and didn't really know the meaning. My mom once told me, yes, it's a cleansing, you know, but I kind of heard laundry. So I don't know, I just I knew there was something good in this, of course, but I didn't know really, you know, that I didn't know it existed. I didn't know that this was called the Gayatri Mantra, and that millions of people chant this across the, you know, especially in India, but it's like one of the maybe most well-known and most powerful mantras. I had no idea about all this. And you know, I think we all have to kind of find our own way in life. And for me, that was finding my own guru in Osho, And that was when I was 11 years old. So that was the time when I dropped chanting mantra and totally immersed myself into my path and life with Osho. And later on, it all, you know, full circle, like I meet Mitten, I become a, I still have a problem calling myself a singer, but I guess you would call it that. I become a singer, musician under his teachings, because Mitten was, you know, already an accomplished musician and really knew how to make music for meditation, which is a very different thing than music for entertainment. And he had learned that art in Osho's ashram already 10 years before we met. And so I was really in really good hands, and he somehow saw some potential in the way our two voices sounded. And so we started singing together. I kind of started very shy and just supporting him, second voice, and really loving that. But there was no mantra in sight at that point. You know, I had totally forgotten about my mantra beginnings in my childhood. And later, like we were 7 years together or something, I heard the Gayatri mantra being sung by friends. And here in England, like in the West, and I was surprised that there was somebody who knew those words that I had, you know, chanted every night as a child. And then I realized, wow, it's this very powerful, maybe most ancient mantra that exists. And then started singing it myself and chanting it, and the whole summer whole unfolding happened out of that. Like, the shyness disappeared that I had felt until then, singing, you know, on my own in front of people. And the voice developed in ways that I hadn't kind of expected or didn't really even work on. It just kind of, you know, unfolded or, you know, came into a flowering. And then we started to record these mantras and realized, oh, there's a whole world out there who loves to sing and chant mantras and incorporate them into their lives, and that's the kind of yoga community that was like 20 years ago now. And now I think it's gone beyond that. Now there's really, the edges are blurred now, and now the, you know, you can't spot everyone on the street who would listen to mantras or who would do yoga, you know, like it's so beautifully happening for so many of us now, and that's such a great feeling now that we are all over the place, you know.
Yes, indeed. The Gayatri mantra is one of the most revered and the most powerful mantras of all. Why is that? What makes it so special?
Yeah, there's a different reason, various reasons. One is that it came into existence, according to the Vedas, it came into existence with the beginning of time, with the first fire ceremony that created the universe, and there were the Vedas and there was the Gayatri mantra. So it was like a standalone entity. And so it's there since the beginning of time. The other thing is that it's a prayer to the sun. It doesn't actually specifically call upon a deity, but it calls upon the light, and the light is so universal and it's so cosmic, and everyone, I think almost everyone on the planet relates to the light as a benevolent force, and so it's universal, you know. You don't have to believe in anything, you don't have to focus on a certain deity or quality like love or joy, or it shines on everything. The light shines on everything. And the sounds themselves, they actually are very wholesome, and they vibrate the whole energetic body system in one and purify that. So it's the sounds themselves, they're very scientifically, you know, received by the rishis, by the ancient rishis in India, and they have a very wholesome effect on our bodies and our metaphysical bodies.
On October the 12th this year, nearly 20 years after your original groundbreaking version of the ancient Gayatri Mantra began topping the alternative music charts and appearing on yoga, meditation, sleep playlists, you released your latest album, which is very simply titled Deva. And before the month was out, it had already reached number one on the Billboard New Age charts and on iTunes World Music charts in 11 countries. Tell us about the album and why you decided to re-record these Gayatri mantras.
Actually, it's not re-record because the Gayatri mantra that's on this new album called Deva is the long form of the Gayatri mantra. So that's what I came to know later on after I reconnected to the mantra that I had grown up with. You know, of course, I looked further deeper into mantra and I realized, oh, there's another version, there's a longer version, and it has more sounds, more words, and apparently also, you know, there's two schools that really feel strongly about one version or the other, you know, being one version being better or more powerful than the other. And I always feel like, oh, if they don't agree, we don't have to make up our minds either. We can just invite both versions into our lives. The difference is that the new in the way that we just recorded it, this long form, the Gayatri mantra, which we call the seven chakra Gayatri mantra, addresses every single one of our seven chakras individually. So it goes Om Bhu for the first chakra, Om Bhuvaha for the second chakra, Om Swaha for the third chakra, Om Maha for the fourth, Om Janaha for the fifth, Om Tapaha for the sixth, and Om Satyam, truth, for the seventh chakra. And then it goes Om Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat, which means we meditate upon this adorable, enchanting source of all things, and this divine light of pure consciousness awakens us or inspires us or energizes us. So that's the meaning of the mantra. We are calling upon all the seven spheres or realms, seven chakras as they are, as these seven realms are reflected in our bodies, and we just invite this pure light to shine upon us and to enlighten us.
So and you open... I was going to say, you open and close with the seven chakra mantra. Why did you choose to bookend it in that way?
Yeah, you know, when we recorded it, we felt they were different, and we didn't want to choose one over the other. And it's funny because it's kind of a deja vu, because it's also what happened in the 20 years ago on The Essence. It's so funny, and we really didn't kind of like make this happen, but in 20 years ago when we recorded The Essence, we had two versions of the Gayatri mantra, and we felt like, oh, they're just so nicely different, they should both be there. And this time again, we didn't even realize it was all happening all over again, so it's kind of funny, but they're different. And what's also special for me is that I actually am not a composer. Like, Miten is the composer in the family, and I haven't really ever, you know, co-written one or two mantras, but I would never call myself a composer. And secretly, I was always kind of hoping that maybe for this long form, I would find the melody. And Joby Baker, who's the producer of Deva and also of Miten's Temple at Midnight and a few other albums which we made before, he was, you know, he just wouldn't take no for an answer. He just said, no, you're just going to write this melody, you know, it's going to come out of you this time. And it really did, and I was so surprised that actually the melody just kind of formed itself in front of me. That feels so right that now I don't even feel anymore it's mine. It just feels right for me to sing it, and there's no question about it. You know, it's not like, is this should have gone differently, or should I have done it this way or that way. It just feels like, oh yeah, this is just it, you know. So that's for me personally very, very sweet and special. And we've been sharing it on this last tour now in America and also in Europe. We just finished a tour a few days ago, and it's so beautiful what happens, and people pick it up really quickly, and the melody, and it just uplifts me so much to be able to share it and sing it and receive it. And my God, I'm really, really, really grateful for it.
So you didn't think that you were a singer, and you are, and you didn't think you were a composer, and now you are. What else don't you think are?
That's a good question. Maybe I should look at that.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is chart-topping mantra singer Deva Premal. We're talking about her latest album, Deva, and the Medicine of Mantra, the live Facebook series that she and her partner, Meetin, have launched in partnership with top doctors across the globe. We'll be back with more from Deva Premal after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Deva Premal, at what point in the last 20 years did you start to consider that your music and your chants had healing power?
I actually was pretty much immediate. It was incredible when we recorded the essence, which had the Gayatri mantra on it. I still remember we went to India with a premix, with a rough mix, just after recording it. It wasn't out yet, and played it somewhere to our friends, and somebody heard it like over the road or something and came, what was that? And it was like, wow, there is some power in there that we didn't expect or didn't hope that it would come out, you know, because it's such a big thing when you record how to capture that magic and how to, you know, the magic of the mantra, and not to take away from it, to also that the music enhances it rather than detracts from it. And it's a huge responsibility to put music to these sacred sounds, and And just from the very beginning, then 20 years ago, the feedback we got was like, wow, something is definitely translated onto the CD that we were hoping. And then, we really honestly received messages of people saying, I was ready to take my life, and somebody put on the CD while I was getting a massage, and suddenly the light went on, and I felt some kind of, spark that would make me want to live again, or would, that could then grow. And it hasn't only happened once, it's happened, I'm sure, maybe 10 times by now. It's so, so extremely humbling, and I feel like if we've just made music just recorded these mantras just for this one person, it would have been worth it. And I feel it actually makes me speechless.
I'm sure, yeah. To coincide with the release of Deva, you and Miten launched the Mantra of Medicine live Facebook series in partnership with some wonderful, well-known doctors. What inspired that?
Yeah, I think if I hadn't become whatever I am now, I would have become a healer. In some way, I was always very, very, in school I was attracted to biology. I was taking classes on biology, and then in the ashram when I first left school and spent a few years in Osho's ashram in India, I learned body work, shiatsu, massage, reflexology, craniosacral, and always in the direction of body healing, physical, alternative healing. And so that idea is just pretty, selfish, because I just find it so intriguing when those two worlds meet, and when there are people who have both feet firmly planted in both worlds, like Dr. Kulreet. We just had last week, we had a talk with her, and she's a neuroscientist, and she's totally into mantra and understands the power of mantra so much so that she has created a hospital where mantra is being chanted in the morning, as part of the healing process for the patients. And, and she's very, very scientific about both things. And then there is Michael Finkelstein with his slow medicine concept, and Dr. Ken Pelletier, they all come from a different angle, but they all have realized the power of when both worlds meet, then there's magic, and then even more healing can happen. And to just have their angles on mantras and on why they might work and how they work is very, very intriguing for me. I've been really enjoying each one of them. So different, each one of them.
What I find fascinating is I have a 14-year-old grandson who's on the spectrum, and for some years, and we don't know where he got this from, he's been saying, look, you can heal with sound, you can heal with vibration.
Wow.
So I'm going to have him listen to this show later, because there's the evidence that he's been right all along, and I do think these kids know a lot more than we think they do. But one of the things I watched the interview with Dr. Ken Pelletier, and he mentioned that he's been a fan of yours for a long time, and that your music has been an integral part of his life. Does it surprise you when people tell you that?
Yes, it still surprises me, and I'm still very, very grateful. I love India Ari's music, and I just wrote to her and I said, maybe you should check out Seven Chakra Gayatri Mantra, because it's like your I Am Light in Sanskrit. And she wrote back, I've been listening to music for years. I love it. I'm already, so it's so nice that, because somehow there is this, we are invisible in some ways, we do these huge concerts for thousands of people, but actually nobody knows us, which is very, very convenient. But also, it's nice. It's beautiful if this vibration goes out more and more and more and more people can benefit from it. So when I realized how much the worlds have already merged and melded into one, that's beautiful. That's very, very, very encouraging.
Well, with over, 1.5 million sales, I'd hardly think that people don't know you. They may not recognize you, but I think they definitely know you.
Yeah, maybe that they've heard it and they don't know what it was. Or
yeah. In your interview with Dr. Pelletier, he said that the power of chanting doesn't necessarily have to do with the content so much as the intonation, vibration, and sensory involvement of the whole experience. Now, was that a surprise to you, or did you already know that?
I mean, that's such a, what do we know? Like if Dr. Coleridge, she said, it's so important, each mantra, which one does what, or Namadeva Ashley Farrand, who is an incredible mantra teacher who left his body a few years ago, but I've learned a lot from him. He can pinpoint each mantra exactly where it vibrates and which chakra and which body part. And, you know, so I think we have different levels of sensitivity, and mine isn't that great. For me, it just makes me happy when I sing mantras, but I couldn't kind of say, oh, yeah, this is, you know, for this chakra and this for that. But I think it's both is true, you know, like it's true that it's about the vibration, and it's also that it's also true that the sounds are very, very specific. And if we focus on one particular mantra with a particular meaning, that particular focus will shift or can transform.
Yeah, you on your world tour that you mentioned, which you began in last April, and it finished in November, and you went just about everywhere, up and down the East West Coast, Canada, Peru, Santiago, over to Russia, Portugal, Holland, UK and Germany. And you also played to homeless people and autistic children. I was very interested to hear that piece of the discussion with Ken Pelletier on autism, autistic children. And I've read that you've been contacted by teachers and caregivers and people who have said how much autistic children love the music. What do you think it is about the music that they love?
I mean, that's also, I mean, I think you might have heard that in the interview that we played in this center. It's called the Center for Discovery. Mm-hmm. It's in upstate New York.
Yes.
And it's an incredible place. I think it's heaven for people on the autistic spectrum, because I think they're just being so amazingly supported and challenged at the same time in the right measurement, you know, in the right measure of both. And that's where I feel like that's where we can really see the power of mantra. It's people who come, they have no idea what they mean, they have no concept of how old they are or what they should feel when they hear it, or you know, they're just open, and they're just receiving the sound for what it is in that moment and responding to it just the way they do. They have no filter. They're not going to be polite or you know. So it's a direct transmission that's, you know, really shows the power. And the staff was like, we couldn't believe they would sit for 1.5 hours without getting rested. Some of them usually, you know, have some outbursts of aggression or restlessness, or just can't handle such a long focus on one thing. And they did, and it was just so touching. And why? I think it's, first of all, it is the power of the sound, that the sounds are healing. It is the feeling that we all sing and chant it with, which is a feeling of respect and a respect of silence and that the sound enhance the silence. And it's also rhythm. I don't know if you know that Krishnadas just made a special recording for autistic children and adults.
No, I didn't.
You know, usually his music speeds up, and that doesn't work for them. They need to be in a kind of a more, you know, this kind of excitement doesn't work for them in that way. So he's now made a CD which just stays quiet, you know, but every chant doesn't speed up. So it's also about the rhythm, you know. So all of those elements together, they bring a very profound healing effect.
One teacher wrote to you to say that she was playing the Essence CD to her class as part of a noontime relaxation hour, and within a few weeks, two of the children who'd never uttered a word began singing along with the mantra. And then they began predicting and singing each track on the entire album. Yeah. I mean, that must be so gratifying. And of course, it's proof, as you said in the interview with Ken Pelletier, that you don't have to understand the meaning of the mantra in order to, you know, to feel the benefits of it.
Mm. You don't have to believe into anything. And that's for me the most important, because I feel like I'm such a universal spirit, you know. I like that we can be, that everyone is welcome, and that we don't have to have some very mindsets that need to be in place for this to work, you know. We can be all, it speaks to all of us, you know.
It does indeed, yeah. And you and Miten have also used the mantra and your music for your own healing as well. You know, specifically as an integral part of Miten's healing from open heart surgery earlier this year.
Yes, and I mean, Miten is, like, the mantras are again like proving their power, because Miten had open heart surgery on 20th of March this year, and we've just finished last week a tour which basically lasted from May to now. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, how do you feel? I asked him, I was so curious. So how do you feel now after this tour? Do you feel exhausted? Do you feel like you need to rest? He said, no, I honestly don't feel any different than when I started, like on a, you know, that I don't feel I need to, I've lost any energy through it. And we had a very profound experience just right after the surgery, when he was still very much aware of the trauma in the body, or actually had a lot of trauma in the body, which didn't let him sleep. So whenever he fell asleep, he would just wake up and kind of be panicked. And then he had a lot of, you know, a lot of crying, a lot of catharsis, just to let out all this stuff, you know, where the body had been traumatized. And after that, a big outburst of emotion, we luckily remembered, because in those moments sometimes you forget. So at that moment we remembered the long form of the Gayatri Mantra, the seven chakra Gayatri Mantra, and we actually put on the recording that we were working on at that time. It wasn't quite finished yet, and it really sprinkled kind of stardust into the room. It was incredible how it transformed the energy and how it brought peace, and we could just sleep, you know, we could just come to a healing sleep. And it was so, so obvious and strong.
I was interested when Miten mentioned this to Dr. Pelletier in the interview, and he said that he'd been told that perhaps the heart condition was hereditary. And Dr. Pelletier said that, the genes, you know, it may be hereditary, but it's not the genes that change. It's, you know, whether we turn on or off the expression of, you know, a propensity. And that he felt that all the work that you've done, all the singing, all the meditating and the chanting has probably actually staved off, you know, for a long time, that condition, you know, from getting any worse. And somebody else with the same propensity who didn't do those things may well have had some kind of, medical problem much sooner than Miten did.
I mean, his sister had a stent put in when she was 50.
Ah.
And his brother too. So there's definitely it kind of hit them much earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's such a for me, this whole thing with illness is such a koan, because I used to have this mindset that, you know, how can that person have cancer? They are so, you know, they live so healthy, or they're such good people, or they're such peaceful people. All the concepts that, like, who shouldn't get ill, you know. Or my friend, she suddenly was hit with ALS, you know. She was a perfectly amazing being, you know. And why her? And I've now given up a little bit on this concept that illness hits us because of something we did kind of wrong, you know. Because mm-hmm. somehow it just seems to be very random, and it just seems to come to certain people who have chosen, or somehow that experience for them to grow, or I don't know. But I think it's the more we can let go of these concepts of reasons why or why not, and just accept that there is and there isn't, I think maybe that's helpful.
Yes, yeah. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and my guest today is chart-topping mantra singer Deva Primal. We're talking about her latest album, Deva, and the Medicine of Mantra, the live Facebook series that she and her partner, Miten, have launched in partnership with top doctors across the globe. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. David Primal, I would think that probably every culture has had some kind of chant, sound, practice that is important to them. Is there a difference between all the different forms of chanting? I mean, we have Gregorian chants, Bijan chants, Native American chanting, etc.
Yeah, that's such a good question. I mean, of course, on a superficial level, there's a big difference because they sound different. I was just thinking the other day that it's only, you know, that often we say, or we hear people saying, oh, I can't sing. You know, it's like something so many of us have adopted as an idea, and usually it's been given to us in our childhood, oh, you can't sing. And in indigenous cultures and societies, you would never hear that. Everyone can sing, because you can sing, you can talk, you can sing. You know, there's no concept. It's like when you walk, you can dance. You know, it's like there's no concept of what is real singing or mm-hmm. not, you know, not good enough. So it's such a big red thread in all the cultures is the singing, which connects with each other and to the divine or the bigger picture. What the difference is, I mean, for me, it's some of it is, you know, what I just vibrate with. I'm drawn to Sanskrit and India, and that it feels like home to me. And I know there are people who feel the same way about Native American chants. And I've heard that, you know, just where the, I mean, actually it's the same about mantras as well, but where in Native American chants, where the tongue hits the roof of the mouth is the important thing. And that's why all these chants, like, which sound to us very similar, yana, wana, owe, or whatever, you know, like these words, which to me sound very similar, they're very scientific in that way, that the tongue is making these pathways between the you know, these neurological pathways by touching the palate of the roof of the mouth. So there's power in so many of these indigenous expressions of chanting, and I feel, you know, we find the one that we vibe with and that make us happy, and that's the most important.
Clearly the ancients knew a great deal about the power of connection. I mean, when you go to a concert, you can't help but being lifted, you know, if you love the music, with everybody else, you know, having that same level of appreciation, and the music itself lifts you almost to another dimension, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of group focus on something, I think, is so important.
Yeah,
One thing that intrigued me, I was watching a video on Facebook the other day of a conversation that you had with a physician living in India who shared how she used mantras in everyday life. Now, this is something that had never occurred to me. You know, I've always thought of it as being a kind of ritualistic kind of activity. But she says when she's cooking, when she's making herbs, she'll use a mantra. Do you do that? I mean, do you know anything about that? Why would one do that?
Yeah, for me, that's the way to use mantras. For me, that's the way to infuse our whole life with an attitude of prayer or worship or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, like an awareness. And there's no separation between, oh, now I will chant a mantra and I sit down and do that, or now I'm cooking or I'm walking. You know, it's all one. And like Om Shri Dhanvantre Namaha is a beautiful mantra to chant while cooking, and with that intention of the food nourishing and healing those who eat it. And, you know, like this. But, you know, just to... For example, to start your meal with the mantra Om Shanti 3 times, you know, it just changes the whole vibe of the meal. It just is incredible how quickly the energy shifts into a deep level of silence or relaxation or peace. And the more we can just create these habits of chanting while we're doing things, the more our lives will, you know, have more color, more joy, because, you know, it's we can't really separate. We can't, you know, we don't even have time to meditate. We have to, it has to infuse everything, you know what I mean? So we have all day long to be in a meditative state. It's really only about remembering. It's, you know, we usually forget these things and we get so busy. So that's why we need to create habits, so that it just is like something we do. Okay, when I cook, I chant, or when I drive to work, I chant, or, you know, whatever, before eating, or when I wake up, I have 3 Oms in my life, or you know, or we could set ourselves alarm, you know, like after 2 hours when I work, after 2 hours when the alarm goes, I take a deep breath and I chant Om Shanti. All these things are so small, but they're so powerful and they're so doable and really will just transform and color the whole day.
I would imagine then that it's very good for people who don't feel that they can meditate as such in the traditional way and therefore avoid it, because what you're describing sounds like a continuing mindfulness practice, a continuing meditation.
Yes, and also, you know, chanting itself is, I feel it's almost like cheating, because it's so quickly to go to that we get to a silent space with chanting. I mean, like when I sit just without doing anything, just sit silently and close my eyes and I'm trying to watch my thoughts, my mind is busy, active, my body is restless. And when I sing and chant and then the silence happens, it's like it's immediate. It's a vibrant silence. The thoughts are slowed down or don't have such a grip over me. My body is just wants to be in a silent space. It doesn't want to be fidgety or, you know. So it's very powerful. It's so, the great thing is it's so much fun. You know, it's not like something strenuous we have to do to get there. We can sing and chant and then the silence just happens really so sweetly. And that's what's so uplifting in the concert also, because, you know, then it's like so many hundreds of thousands of people together, and then this pin drop silence after a mantra. We usually go to Moscow, and that's our biggest audience there, 6,000 people, and to come to that silence with that many people is so, it's really like mind-blowing. You know, in the beginning of the concerts, people are coughing or shuffling or in the silences, and then towards the end, they're all just, the mind doesn't make the body restless anymore. You know, we just can think into this together and celebrate it.
Your next Facebook Live event in the Mantra of Medicine series is on November the 24th, and it's with New York Times bestselling author Dr. Larry Dossey, who's going to be discussing mantras as a portal to the one mind. In the introduction to that particular event on your website, you give a little bit of information about Dr. Dossey. And apparently, when he published in 1993 his groundbreaking book, Healing Words, The Power of Prayer and the Practice of Medicine, only three medical schools in the United States had courses devoted to exploring the role of spiritual practice and prayer in health. And now there are nearly 80 medical schools that have instituted such courses. To see, you know, to see the two worlds converging, you know, the physicians, the scientists, the spiritual dimension as well, must be very gratifying for you. As you said, you've been, you know, you've been aware of this for 20 years, the healing power of mantras.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny that we need to have these, we need to have people with titles to endorse our experiences, that most of us work like that. And so if a doctor says it, then it must be more right than if, you know, whoever says it, you know, like it's sad, but it's also, it's the truth. And it's great that there are so many doctors, like you said, out there now who have the courage to come out and say, look, this is what I feel, you know. It's because obviously they expose themselves to be ridiculed potentially also, you know.
Precisely.
So it's great that they have the courage and the experience and the knowledge to explain it to our minds, which is good, because sometimes we need something, you know, we need that explanation to trust it or to let go into it.
Do you and Meetin plan on continuing this series? Because I can imagine that it's pretty invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few more that we are very close to Bruce Lipton. I'm sure you're aware of
Bruce,
Bruce Lipton.
Yeah, I've interviewed him several times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're going to do one with him, and then we want to do one with Alberto Violdo, who is a shamanistic shamanism and mantra, and he's also a dear friend of ours, so that's going to be very interesting. And then we see who appears, but there's a few more that definitely will be coming.
Good, good, because I think the more people one can reach with this information, not everybody will go out and buy some of those books that those doctors are writing. But, you know, if they're introduced to their work through you and hear about, you know, how these worlds are converging, then it helps the books, it helps spread the word, etc. You know, we live in a world where there's so much space, so much food, so many resources, and the technology to make the most of all of them. And yet fighting, backbiting, anger, upheaval, hate crimes, mass shootings and poverty are increasing rather than diminishing. With all that you've seen on your travels, all that you've experienced at your concerts, and all that you're learning and sharing now through this particular Facebook Live series, it would seem that music, mantra and meditation could be a powerful antidote to the rising rates of stress and illness and depression and alienation that the world is experiencing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The question is, how do we get this out, you know, wider and wider?
I mean, we just do our thing. You know, we all just share what we love to share, and it does what it does. You know, you can't shove it down somebody's throat. You know, you just have to just offer it, and it'll find its way. I feel the wave is already started. It's actually you can't stop it. And every one of us we just keep chanting, keep singing, keep sharing, and it'll spread.
Has there been one so far in this series of discussions that you've having, has there been one thing that has really stood out for you, or is it all just confirmation of what you know?
Yeah, more confirmation so far. I mean, I've been very touched by the individual pathways of the doctors, you know, what they offer, and you know, that Dr. Kulrit, that there is actually a hospital in Chennai in India where they use these things together with allopathic medicine and surgeries and stuff, just, you know, that these things. But on a kind of a conceptual level, there haven't been really big surprises for me. But, I mean, I find that also beautiful, because that means, you know, we are already deeply immersed, and we are already one.
Mindfulness and meditation are becoming acceptable in schools now. In fact, some schools are actively encouraging these practices, teaching meditation to the children, having quiet mindfulness corners that children can go to. And in some, I know that in Ohio, where Representative Tim Ryan was very instrumental in introducing mindfulness to schools, they've actually seen that a lot of the children, especially those that had learning challenges, who would not come to school, are now coming to school, and they're actually calming down, and there's less violence in the classroom. Wouldn't it be wonderful if chanting was also included in that?
That would be really wonderful. It would be really amazing. But that little hurdle is that it's religious, you know? I mean, mindfulness is more safe in that way. And I think that's also why mantras have the place they have, because people are more scared still that it's Hinduism, or that they have to subscribe to some belief system. And that's kind of unfortunate because it's not true, you know. But it seems that way.
Perhaps that will change now that we are discovering so much about health, longevity, and how vibration and frequency and mantras can support that.
Yeah. Sorry, can you just say that again?
I was going to say perhaps that will all change. People will stop thinking of it as something that's purely religious and start looking at it as a health aid.
I know. I mean, that's what I hope, that when these doctors come forward and more and more people actually have the experience, because that's, you know, that if somebody says, look, it changed my life or it saved my life, you will listen to it, you know. Mm. So hopefully, yes.
David Primer, we're almost out of time. Now that you've finished this long, long tour of yours, are you going to start planning more recordings, or are you going to take a rest?
I don't know. We don't really have that rest concept. For us, it's always like one big kind of flow. And we are going to record again, in Australia. We have it all already planned. Mitten's next album is being... we're pregnant with it as we speak, so that's
Thank you. Really looking forward. David Primel, we're out of time now, unfortunately. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure. You're listening to What Is Going On. Ah, you're welcome. For more information about Deva and Mitten, visit their website, devaprimelmitten.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.